McMicken. It was also a very warm time.
Man, I felt like I was living in a haunted house because the neighborhood was just hot and humid and the windows are open. It's the summer and people are out there screaming. And, you know, I'm just like, man, what is this, Transylvania?
You'll hear an encore session with Dr. Dog this hour. And you'll also hear another archive session from another artist who was living in West Philly around that time, Waxahachie, who talks about why she made the move from New York City to Philadelphia.
Because New York is terrible. No, I'm just kidding. It's just expensive and overwhelming, and Philly is, you know, better.
We revisit sessions from Dr. Dog and Waxahachie as part of our new Sense of Place Philadelphia series today. I'm Raina Duras, and this is World Cafe.
For KAXE News, I'm Chelsea Perkins with the Up North Report. Where the city of Virginia placed $3.7 million of sales tax funds is raising tensions among city leaders. Iron Range Today reports the council has directed staff to complete a request for proposal for a forensic audit. The audit would track down how the sales tax money went into the general fund and was apparently spent without council approval. The city is already navigating a precarious financial situation. It has $77 million in long-term debt and could be out of money by the fall. In recent months, the council has implemented a non-essential spending freeze. Virginia spends more than $1 million a month on payroll, according to city records, and staffing makes up about 75% of its operating budget. According to Iron Range Today, the council considered an idea to outsource and restructure its public safety services, but ultimately did not act during its meeting on Tuesday night. A packed room of residents spoke in favor of the departments. Councilors declined a motion to seek requests for proposals on the ambulance service, and similar motions on police and fire were not called. The city of Fauston and Essentia Health must resume talks in their years-long dispute over the healthcare provider's operation of the local hospital. In an order filed Saturday, a Polk County District Judge required the parties to take part in arbitration over whether the city has the right to end Essentia's involvement. Judge Jeffrey Remick says the court is required to order arbitration based on state law and a clear and unambiguous agreement between the entities. Fauston city leaders have maintained that services at Essentia Health declined in the last several years, notably with the end of labor and delivery services at the hospital in 2022. The Fauston City Council agreed to remove Essentia as the operator of the Critical Access Hospital at the beginning of this year. Essentia has accused city leaders of misrepresenting basic facts of the agreement and misleading the people of Fauston. The provider has argued another round of arbitration was not necessary, saying the city was refusing to accept a previous ruling. Fauston has maintained that providing labor and delivery was an essential part of its agreement. Arbitrators ruled in a split decision in 2024, however, that Essentia did not breach its contract. The agreement with Essentia has been in place for 17 years. The provider broke ground on a $12 million emergency room expansion in April. Early voting for the August primary election begins Friday, but another round of candidate filings will open soon, including for the soon-to-be new Northern Minnesota city of, well, Northern Minnesota. Here's Larissa Donovan with an update.
Candidate filing for the first ever Northern City Council will open July 14th. Northern Township successfully petitioned to become its own city, which became official earlier this year by order of an administrative law judge. The process was contentious at times, with the judge also considering a counterpetition from Northern's nearest neighbor, the city of Bemidji.
Everything is on track for us to seat the first council and new mayor at the general election here in November. And then shortly after that is when we officially become a city. This is basically the first meeting where they take their oaths of office. And we'll just continue on as we are today, just with a new title.
That was Northern Township Administrator Chris Lane. A large piece of Northern's push to become a new city involved addressing aging septic systems around Lake Bemidji and moving toward wastewater infrastructure, which Lane says is set to begin construction in 2027, with some utility work underway this summer. Many local units of government, like school boards and cities that don't host primary elections, will also begin candidate filing periods on July 14th. Larissa Donovan, KAXE News.
Aerial management for the invasive insect called the spongy moth is set to begin in a couple of weeks in northeast Minnesota. The Minnesota Department of Agriculture, in collaboration with federal partners, has identified 16 areas in Aiken, Carlton, Pine, and St. Louis counties. The Ag Department says spongy moth has caused billions of dollars in property damage and defoliated millions of acres of forest. A pheromone that stops male moths from finding females will be applied by low-flying aircraft to the tree canopies. The flyovers are scheduled for July 13th through 15th and may last through the 17th, depending on the weather. That's it for the Up North Report from the KAXE News Desk. I'm Chelsea Perkins, telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report on KAXE is sponsored by Woodland Bank, dedicated to serving local businesses, families, and nonprofits in our area since 1920. You can find more information online at woodland.bank.
Hey, I'm Raina Duras. This is an Encore World Cafe for our Sense of Place Philadelphia series. You're about to hear a session with Dr. Dog with original host David Dye that first aired in 2010. Enjoy.
It has been nothing short of a joy to watch the rise of the band Dr. Dog from our close vantage point here in the same neighborhood in Philadelphia. For 10 years, the band has followed their own guidance, producing steadily improving and morphing music. Their new album, released earlier this year, is Shame, Shame. Today, we'll hear a live performance from the stage at World Cafe Live. But first, I sit down with the two songwriters in the band, Toby Lehman and Scott McMicken, to talk about the changes in the band, including their new young drummer, Eric Slick.
It's so far so good. I mean, we got our old drummer left to do some of his own stuff, and we were real nervous about getting somebody new. And we got this guy Eric Slick, who we know, and he's been playing around town for years. He's sort of a phenom, and he's great. And he's so much fun to play with, and I feel like we're all getting a lot better.
Well, it's funny to watch you guys live because. You kind of key off Eric now. He's kind of like the engine. I mean, it's like...
Yeah, because he's a horse. He's back there just banging away, and you're just, it's like, oh, this is easy. But at the same time, you really got to... You can get into, as a bass player, like a pocket with him real easy, which is awesome to do. And then we have our friend Dimitri as a six-man right now, which is cool. We're still working out exactly what he... This is actually the first show he played with us, so... We're still working out exactly what he's going to start doing.
Well, this new album is great, and I, Toby, I think it was you I heard say something about how you feel kind of a little bit like it's starting. It's like a first album in the way you did it. You worked with Rob Schnapf, you got a little bit out of your home studio and all that. Looking back on it, what was the experience like?
Do you want to take that, Scott?
Oh yeah, well, it was definitely like a brave new world for us. You know, it was like we just knew and just could really tell that it just didn't feel right to think about going into this record doing it in the same ways that we've done them on our end. You know, it was just
how so?
Well, I sort of felt like we kind of hit a wall in our own abilities as engineers and producers, you know, after doing all these records over the years. And with each one, we'd kind of accumulate a little bit more knowledge or a little bit more equipment that would enable us to do other things. But I felt like in order to take the next logical step, it was something that we just needed to surround ourselves with people who've been doing this for a lot longer than us, that we'd kind of taught ourselves about as much as we could. And also a shift occurred in the last year or two where, you know, we had just been playing live so much that I think we were all most excited about what we were as a live band for the first time versus back in the earlier days where the live show was kind of an incidental sort of thing that we would kind of throw together just based on the fact that we did all these recordings all the time and started to release them. So I think we feel a lot more confident as a live band. And so we wanted to acknowledge that and when we're in recording, kind of bring that into the studio rather than always leaving that out of the studio. And again, that was another reason why we were like, well, man, we don't know anything about doing that and we don't have enough microphones to do that. And so, so we just decided to work with Rob and go up to Dreamland for a little. And it was cool though. He really helped us out a lot. And it was a nice kind of balance in the end because we didn't finish up there. We spent a month just getting all kinds of new experiences and playing around with all kinds of different equipment. And also for the first time playing together as a band in the studio rather than putting them down one by one. And then, of course, we were able to take all that stuff back home and finish the record on our own in the way that we were familiar.
I want to talk a bit about these songs because listening to this album, before I read anything about it, I just there were a lot of songs about leaving, about coming back, about being kind of dislocated.
Sure.
And I was wondering where that all comes from. Is that part of being on the road all the time?
That's a large part of it. Obviously, this isn't a song about being on, or an album about being on the road, but you know, you write when you start writing songs and whatever mood you're in or whatever comes to mind. I mean, that's what you sort of have to go with. You can't really force anything else.
And there are a couple shout outs to Baltimore, the street in West Philadelphia.
Yeah.
One from each of you. It was just kind of funny. And Scott, you've got a great song kind of going up and down the street called Shadow People, which we'll get to a version of today. Has your whole perspective about West Philadelphia changed? I guess, Toby, you're not living there anymore, right?
No. My wife, Myra Sarah, and I bought a place down in Wilmington.
Right.
I love it, and yeah. I only seem to love it more and more. I've been there 10 years now, and I always just feel so good coming back to it. And it's funny, though, because I've had so many different perspectives on it based on the various neighborhoods I've lived in. And I've definitely gotten to points where I felt like I needed to get away from there because I would be out on tour all the time and surrounded by people and all this chaos and never any privacy and never any alone time or anything. So I would come home and I would just go for the throat with that kind of solitary thing. And I would just want to be in my house and I would want to work on stuff and just be more peaceful or something. But in some cases, depending on where I was living at the time, it was really hard because there's every time I walk out to get a cup of coffee or something or anything, you know, it's just my own. It's really not any sort of judgment call or even really any sort of accurate description of the neighborhood itself, but more what I was looking for.
Gotcha.
Just based on having to tour so much. And so the Shadow People was kind of written in a night like that where I was just like, man, I felt like I was living in a haunted house because the neighborhood was just hot and humid and the windows are open. It's the summer and people are out there screaming. And, you know, I'm just like, man, what is this, Transylvania? So I wrote that song and I certainly hammed it up. You know, like I never stole a bike from the second mile, and I hope that's clear. My friend asked me yesterday, he was like, did you really steal a bike from the second mile? And I was like, no. I struggle with that line because I had a something bike from the second mile. Right. And it wasn't until he asked me yesterday what actually happened when I was writing. He's like, what is the word? Stole a bike? And I'm like, well, I never did that, nor would I ever condone that. But I don't know, I'm kind of taking this nightmarish kind of horror flick angle on this particular perspective of West Philly, so I'll just go with it. But as he asked me and I was thinking about it, I was like telling him how I couldn't think of any other word that fit, like the syllables and the phrasing and the tune and the melody, until like partway through, I was like, oh, I guess I suppose I could have said I bought a bike from the second mile just as easy. But it didn't occur to me until yesterday that was an option.
Well, congratulations on this album. It just sounds great. And we will check in after your early summer tour. And
all right.
Great to see you guys.
You too.
Thank you.
Let's go to the stage and hear a set now from Dr. Dog live in the World Cafe.
Twenty years is It is good to see you all very much.
I want.
Thank you to David Dye and Dr. Dog for that session. It originally aired in 2010. You heard it today as part of our Sense of Place Philadelphia series. Another Philly session from our archives in just a minute on World Cafe.
Good morning, happy Baby Friday, and thanks for listening to People Powered Radio, KAXE, KBXE. My name is Dan Gannon. The Minnesota Northwoods Writers Conference is going on this week in Bemidji. They're hosting evening readings for the public at 7 p.m. now through Friday, June 26th, in the Hag Sauer Building on the BSU campus. Programming on KAXE, KBXE is supported in part by the Bush Foundation, investing in great ideas and the people who power them, introducing the 2026 Bush Fellows, leaders working to make the region better for everyone. More information is online at bushfoundation.org. The Minnesota Discovery Center in Chisholm hosts the 6th Annual Youth Mental Health Night Thursday, June 25th from 5 to 8. Explore resources, educational activities, plus BMX stunt shows. Coming up at 1 o'clock today, our volunteer on the river host will be Judy Gruy, bringing you great music until 4 p.m. And tonight from 7 to 10, DJ Ben Frankenstein will be your on the river host. Now let's get you back to the World Cafe.
Hey, I'm Raina Duris. You are listening to World Cafe. And these days, Waxahachie, led by Katie Crutchfield, is what you might call indie music royalty, releasing critically adored and award-winning albums. She doesn't live in Philadelphia anymore, but she did for some of the project's formative years. For our Sense of Place Philadelphia series, we are revisiting a session with original host David Dye from those years. First aired in 2015, just after Waxahachie released the album Ivy Trip. Here, David had just asked Katie if her sister Allison was responsible for her making the move to Philly.
No. she and Keith here and our friend Kyle Gilbride and I were living in Brooklyn, and we all decided to move to Philly together.
And why?
Because New York is terrible. No, I'm just kidding. It's just expensive and overwhelming, and Philly is, you know, better.
Totally livable.
Yeah.
And you should tell people you're in West Philadelphia. Is there some kind of a major difference, like attitude amongst those who live in, say, the River Wards and those who live in West Philadelphia?
I don't know if I should be the one to say so, but I really like living in West Philly, for right. sure. Yeah, it's definitely for me.
And what are the vibes? What are the general outlook of what will be in West Philly?
I don't know. My friends in West Philly, it's sort of like more laid back, and there's just like a lot of good music happening there right now.
So much great music coming out of this city. And when you guys started playing here, you actually, Katie, you started playing in two bands here at once, right?
I started playing in Waxahachie and also in a band called Great Thunder.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we'll discuss more of everything, but why don't you guys do a tune to begin with?
Sure. This is called Under a Rock. It's a new song.
Maybe you got your head caught in a ditch last night.
That is Under a Rock, one you may have heard from Waxahachie's new Ivy Trip, and we're having a chance to have the band in today. The new album, Ivy Trip, is their first for Emerge, and a masterful record, really a great one. I want to talk a little bit about Cerulean Salt, though, and the effect of that record, which, Katie, and when you made that record, you know, you weren't playing to that many people, and through the popularity of that, and you were touring forever, things really kind of blew up with that.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't expect that to happen. We made the record in the basement of our house in West Philly, and yeah, we didn't expect for that many people to hear it, and then things just sort of happened.
How did you feel about that while it was happening, and then at the end? I mean, I know you you moved sort of out of the city afterwards, and I don't know if that was an effect of.
Yeah, I mean, it was really exciting, but it was also really overwhelming. And we toured pretty much all of 2013, and a lot of 2014. So we moved out of Philly for a minute just to work on Ivy Trip. Mm-hmm. And now, yeah, after we finished, we moved back.
And in what ways is Ivy Trip a reaction to that? I mean, I hear it as a poppier record for sure.
Yeah. A lot of people have said that. I guess I don't really hear it that way, but I could kind of understand that. I don't know. I mean, I really tried to leave Philly and to kind of, sort of isolate myself, mostly so that I could just focus on making a record without thinking about how it was gonna, you know, be received.
Why is it called Ivy Trip?
It's a term that I kind of sort of made up, just to refer to the sort of directionless wander that we all sort of go on sometimes.
Yes, we can agree with that one. You want to do another one from this or another song?
We're going to do an older one. We're going to do one from Cerulean Salt called Cool. Lively.
Waxahachie again, live in our studio here in the World Cafe, and that one goes back to Cerulean Salt. I say here we are live in our studio, and Katie, I understand one of the reasons you went, you know, we're out there on Long Island recording is because you got to use the house as sort of your studio. You're not a big fan of the the studio experience. I mean, we have her under lights and all kinds of things here today.
I feel so overexposed. I like making records at home. I kind of like to enter the recording process sort of underprepared and sort of build things up and take my time, and it's easier to do that at my house.
Even lyrically, you would come in without them?
No, I usually try to have that because that's the part that takes the longest. So I usually try to come in with at least that.
Obviously, I'm not alone in loving your lyrics, but I'm wondering how you put them together, because they do you like chisel them away when you get started and do a lot of editing?
Yeah, I do now. When I was younger, I used to sit down and write a song in like 20 minutes and that would just be the song forever. But I feel like now I do a lot of drafting and sort of meticulous about vocal rhythms and the rhyming and the syllables. And yeah, it's just every single word kind of has to be just right now.
You got me smiling about vocal rhythms, because that's one of the things that's so cool about it.
Oh, cool.
You definitely work hard on that. Waxahachie in the studio today, and go back to Ivy Trip and do one from this.
Yeah, we're gonna do a new one called The Dirt.
Learning, you eulogize before you, we'll preach, rubbing your filthy hands on my speech. My hating is like sugar, white beach. The grievance that I breathe, if I kill you, call everyone I know, unhitch, disrupt neutrality. Wasted my boredom hastily. I'm a basement, brimming with the thin blue.
That is The Dirt, as Waxahachie are playing live in the Cafe Studios today, Katie Crutchfield and company. People often mention some of the great female-led bands from the 90s when they talk about your music. And I'm just doing a little bit of mathematics. You would have been really young then. So
yeah.
That was not was that a direct something you heard? Or?
Yeah, I mean, when we first started getting into music, we already had the internet. So I think that just by some weird coincidence, that music ended up being sort of shown to Allison and I in probably like, you know, the early sort of mid-2000s.
Yeah.
So it wasn't really like cool anymore. and it was sort of like strange that we ended up finding that kind of music. But yeah, like Liz Phair and even Hole and Bikini Kill and bands like that, we sort of found around that time.
Were you always singing in harmony and like this when you were?
No, never until this band, actually.
Really?
Yeah, this is the first time we've ever done that.
We attempted it when we were in P.S. Eliot together, but I played drums and it just never really...
Never panned out.
Never really panned
out. Huh. Mm-hmm. Well, it works really well. I mean, part of it I was thinking, oh, how great. You can double track all your vocals on your records and then you have your doppelganger to...
That was sort of my thought process. Like, who better to sing all these backups that I just recorded than someone who shares my DNA?
Absolutely. All right. What would you like to finish up with?
We're going to finish up with Peace and Quiet.
Independent best.
Waxahachie live on the cafe today. And Katie, thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Thanks so much to David Dye and Waxahachie for that session that first aired back in 2015 and that we just re-aired as part of our new Sense of Place Philadelphia series. Back to your music in a minute here on World Cafe.
Thanks so much for listening to People Powered Radio, KAXE, KBXE. My name is Dan Gannon. We received support from Brainstorm Bakery, headquarters of Crapola, with four flavors of granola handcrafted at the bakery on East Sheridan Street in Ely. Online ordering available and more at brainstormbakery.com. National Bank of Commerce hosts their annual summer fundraiser to benefit United Way of Bemidji today, Thursday, June 25th, from 11 to 2. A bratwurst lunch will be served at both locations in Bemidji with sit-down, takeout, and drive-through options available. We received support from Bratton Tree Care, located in Grand Rapids, Minnesota, providing quality service to the Minnesota Northland. With 5 years' experience and an ISA arborist on staff, Bratton Tree Care is able to handle all of your tree service needs. Learn more at brattontreecare.com. The City of Bowabic hosts Music in the Park on Thursdays at Carl Schuster Park, now through August at 6:30, held rain or shine. Now let's get you back to the World Cafe on KAXE, KBXE.
Our Sense of Place Philadelphia series keeps on rolling for the rest of the month as the American 250 celebrations happen there. You'll hear encores, but you'll also hear lots of new pieces and sessions. You can keep up by subscribing to the World Cafe podcast wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Raina Duras. This is World Cafe, and here's more Philly music from Japanese Breakfast. Be sweet.
I can feel the night passing by like a mistake waiting.
Just Can't Get Enough, that is Sheer Mag. Philly bands, all the way down to the end of this hour of the cafe. You will be able to find all of the Sense of Place Philadelphia pieces as they come out at worldcafe.org. Go there, bookmark it. We make this show in Philly, but it goes all over the country thanks to our affiliate public radio stations. So huge, huge thank you to them. We produce this show at WXPN at the University of Pennsylvania. My name is Raina Duras. Thank you for listening to World Cafe from NPR.
World Cafe is supported by BritBox, taking viewers to worlds of drama, romance, and scandal with new original period dramas featuring the other Bennett sister from the world of Jane Austen. Streaming at BritBox.com. And by the Lodestar Foundation, inspired by the principle that helping those in need is a path to a happier, healthier, and more meaningful life. Learn more at LodestarFoundation.org.
This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. Celebrating 50 years of people-powered radio in northern Minnesota, join us at KAXE.org. Good afternoon, happy Baby Friday, and thanks so much for listening. My name is Dan Gannon. Our Brainerd translator at 89.9 FM is currently operating at reduced power. We're waiting for additional parts and a crew to complete the installation. Thank you so much for your patience. Let's take a look at weather in our listening area today and through the weekend. Mostly cloudy, becoming sunny with a chance of sprinkles, high in the mid-70s. Tonight, mostly clear, temps in the upper 40s to low 50s. And Friday, cloudy, highs in the mid to upper 70s, southeast winds 5 to 15. Overnight lows 52 to 58 degrees. And Saturday, partly sunny with highs in the upper 70s to low 80s. Breezy southeast winds up to 25 miles per hour with evening temps in the upper 50s to mid 60s. And that should be a gorgeous day on Saturday for KAXE, KBXE, Bridget's Pub, and Keg and Cork host the Beltrami Block Party in downtown Bemidji Saturday, June 27th, starting at 1 p.m. Free live music with Eric Koskinen, David Huckfeldt, Little Fevers, and more, as well as food and beverages.